What a delight once again for us to come together and worship. I feel like I have known you guys for years. My wife and I have been tremendously blessed to have shared these times with you. It is a foretaste of glory divine. I can hear echoes of mercy and whispers of love even as I stand in this place. So thank you again for having us. I want us to continue our thoughts revolving around the idea of turning ink into blood. Living the lyrics of Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. I rehearsed, and you're hearing this morning, two of the reasons I think that the psalmist got into a state of depression. As he will say, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall again praise him, my Savior and my God." That triadic refrain runs throughout the fabric of Psalm 42 and 43. Psalm 42, 5, Psalm 43 and 5, Psalm 42 and 11. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child, a long way from home. Sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down. Yes, Lord. Sometimes I'm almost level to the ground. Oh, yes, Lord. Nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows but Jesus. Nobody knows the trouble I see. Glory, hallelujah. That sounds like depression. Some people have said that depression is the common cold of mental illness. And therefore, Christianity and depression are antithetical and cannot coexist. I beg to differ with that, because some of the greatest saints and sages of all the ages have experienced spiritual depression. Moses is called the meekest man in all the earth. That means a person who has power but is under the control of God. Not weakness, but meekness. And one day, Moses got frustrated with the people of God. And Moses said, "God, I can't be a nurse for all of these people here in the wilderness. Here, God, these are your people." And God says, "No, Moses, they're your people." And Moses says, "No, God, they're your people." It's like Israel is a hot potato, and Moses doesn't seem to want them, and God doesn't seem to want them. And Moses resorts to this statement, "Lord, take my life." Spiritual depression. And Elijah goes to heaven without dying. He catches a chartered chariot of fire, pulled by horses of fire, with rains of fire that will go beyond the ionosphere and the stratosphere and break the gravitational pull of the earth and get to the place where God is. And he does it and has not the reality of what all of us will have to go through unless Jesus comes first. He doesn't die. And yet he got depressed. He had his greatest victory in his prophetic ministry. And he had his greatest disappointment in his prophetic ministry 24 hours apart. On Mount Carmel, he calls to God and God sends down fire. And Elijah has, if you will, been victorious with the power of God assisting him. And then he gets this word from Jezebel, who's the queen of the northern kingdom, but really she is the king. She is the power behind the throne. And she says to Elijah, "I'm giving you a 24-hour APB, all points bulletin. You will be as dead in 24 hours as one of the prophets that you've just killed." And Elijah runs, goes all the way down to Beersheba, sits underneath a broom brush tree. You know what he says? "Take my life." And he's just gone from the thrill of victory to the agony of defeat. Spiritual depression. I told you about Jeremiah, where Jeremiah wanted to resign from the preaching ministry in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. He says, I said I would not speak anymore in his name, but his word was in my heart. His word was in my heart. His word was in my heart like fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary of holding it in. Indeed, I could not. And he closes chapter 20, not with verse 14, where he is singing to the Lord. But there's an unanswered question. Why did you allow me to be born in this world with sorrow and misery? And God never says one thing in that entire paragraph. And Jeremiah gets depressed. And you and I listen to a psalmist who speaks for the community. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Spiritual depression. Why is he feeling so depressed? I submit to you another reason. I told you this morning that I thought one of the first reasons was because of the absence of the temple of God. Psalm 42, Psalm 43 in this instance, verse number 3. Let your light and your truth lead me to your holy hill, to the place of your dwelling. He's absent from the temple. And we get a feeling of what that's like when the exilic Jews, those Jews who were in Babylon for 70 long years, express their temperament, their attitude in Psalm 137, verses 1 through 5. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willow trees of the midst thereof, for they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, that is entertainment, saying, sing for us one of the songs of Zion. And their response is this: how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange, in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, and let my right hand forget her cunning. Let it atrophy. Let it become without function. It's depression. That's the first thing that the psalmist is away from the temple. I said the second thing is because I think that this is not so much the absence of the temple of God, but the absence of the God of the temple. And you have those two questions that penetrate your mind, even as you sit here this evening. The first one is in Psalm 42, verse 3. My tears have been my food, my meat, day and night, while those continually asked me, where is your God? And it is not that God is not existent. It's that God is inactive. In Psalm 42, verse 10, like a mortal wound, a deadly wound in my body, those around me continually taunt me with the question, where is your God? So it's the absence of the God of the temple. This is almost as if God has moved and left you and I no forwarding address. And every time you send a prayer up to him, it is returned to you saying, return to sender. And God becomes so elusive that you can't catch up with him. He leaves no forwarding address. There is no post office box number. And it seems like every time you pray, your prayers bounce back to you. And if they don't bounce back to you, the prayers that you send up to God, God answers in the behalf of somebody else. Therefore, you feel that God is an absentee landlord of heaven and has left you on your own. Not non-existent, but inactive. Here's the third reason. Third reason why I feel that the psalmist got depressed was because he was having a melancholy moment. Hear what he says in Psalm 42, verse 4. I pour out my soul as I remember how I went with the throng and led the procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Keeping praise. I remember how I used to lead the procession of the house of God, doing the three mandatory